The Supreme Court has decided to take up a major abortion case next term. It's just been announced that could limit Roe v. Wade. Now, the Supreme Court agreed to take up this major abortion case next term concerning a controversial, what many referred to in the media as controversial, Mississippi law that banned most abortions after 15 weeks, rekindling a potentially major challenge to Roe v. Wade at the majority conservative court. Now, Mississippi led the way with their 15-week abortion ban, meaning you can't have an abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Then-Governor Phil Bryant signed into law this bill in 2018. It made exceptions only for medical emergencies or cases in which there is a severe fetal abnormality, but not for instances of rape or incest. A federal judge in Mississippi struck down the law in November of 18, and the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld that ruling in December of 19. Now, after being rescheduled for the court's consideration in conference over a dozen times, the case could present a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade. Now, that 1973 Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion nationwide prior to viability is the key misunderstanding in this country of Roe v. Wade. Viability was what was argued in Roe v. Wade. If the child cannot survive, then it's not viable. Therefore, they said you could abort it. Now, viability, which can occur at around 24 weeks of pregnancy, that is what they said. Now, let's go back to this case so you understand Roe v. Wade. And a lot of people don't understand this case. So let me give you a very quick history. In January 1973, the Supreme Court came down with their 7-2 decision, ruling that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution provided a right to privacy. This is about right to privacy, so you understand, that would protect a woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion. Here is the big asterisk, which is forgotten by many in the liberal media. It also ruled that this right is not absolute and must be balanced against the government's interest in protecting women's health and, huge asterisk, protecting the life of the unborn, or as they called it, prenatal life. The court resolved this balancing test by tying state regulations of abortion to the three trimesters of pregnancy. In 1973, they were looking at 1969, 70, 71, just so you know, medicine, because it took a while for this to get to the Supreme Court. So they were making a decision about the viability of a child outside the womb, right? Based on 1970 medicine. The full case, when it actually happened, it started in Dallas. So a lot of people don't even understand this. The Supreme Court, this was argued back in 71, then re-argued in 72, then decided in 73. So what they were actually looking at was 1969, 1970 medical science about the viability of a child outside the womb. They didn't decide on it till 73. Now, the argument that is going to be made is that Roe v. Wade certainly does need to be revisited for the fact that viability of a child has changed with the advancement of medicine significantly in this country since 1970 or 1969. Because this case, which involved Norma McCorvey, she was Jane Roe, right? That was her name, basically, in the lawsuit. In 1969, she became pregnant with her third child. She wanted an abortion. She lived in Texas. Abortions were illegal except when necessary to save the mother's life. She was referred to a lawyer or lawyers who filed a lawsuit on her behalf in the U.S. federal court against her local district attorney Henry Wade, alleging that Texas abortion laws were unconstitutional. You then had a 3-judge panel of the U.S. District Court of the Northern District of Texas heard that case and ruled in her favor. Texas then appealed the ruling directly to the Supreme Court, which agreed to hear the case. Now, that was in 69. So you could actually argue that they were looking at medicine in 68 and 69 on the viability of a child. Clearly, Roe v. Wade, at the bare minimum, needs to be updated just to stand with what the law demanded, right? Now, the court resolved the balancing test, they said, by tying state regulations of abortions to three trimesters of pregnancy. During the first trimester, the government could not prohibit abortions at all. During the second trimester, and this was all based on viability of life, during the second trimester, government could not require reasonable health regulations. Excuse me, the government could require reasonable health regulations. And during the third trimester, abortions could be prohibited entirely by the state so long as the law contained exceptions for cases when they were necessary to save the life or health of the mother. So to recap the original context of Roe v. Wade, the court said that a fetus is not a person, but, quote, potential life, and thus does not have constitutional rights of its own. Yet, they did say that once that baby, that fetus, as they described it, became viable, that it did, in fact, have rights. That is the reason why a woman's privacy, they said, was important. However, they said you can regulate abortion during different trimesters. Third trimester, for example. The state could regulate abortion to protect the health of the child, right? And during the third trimester, the state may regulate or prohibit abortion to promote its interest in the potential life of the fetus, except when the abortion is necessary to preserve the woman's life or health. That is the exact words of the 1973 ruling. So let's just talk about modern medicine. I think we can all agree that modern medicine now and what you can do to save the life of the unborn and save the life of a mother is significantly different than it was in 1969 or 1970. And why this challenge from Mississippi was a smart one is they were challenging exactly that, basically. They were putting a date on it. They were saying, here is a date for us that we are using, and then you guys can decide to listen to our case. Mississippi said 15 weeks, you can get a fetal heartbeat, and they banned most abortions after 15 weeks. Now, do the math there. That's every 4 weeks a month, right? So you're talking about 1, 2, 3 months basically in. There are a lot of other states that are saying the same thing. And what Mississippi has said is, we are willing to challenge Roe v. Wade, and we believe that we will win in some capacity at protecting life because modern medicine clearly allows for a child to live outside the womb and to protect that life at a much younger age inside the womb than it was in 1969 or 1970. This is why Democrats are freaking out right now, because if you revisit Roe v. Wade, there's no way to revisit it without looking at all of these factors. There's no way. You have to look at this, and you have to look at the three trimesters of pregnancy. And this, again, the right to abortion, they said, for any reason except for the third trimester and maybe even in the second trimester based on protecting the rights of the unborn. They call it the fetus. You can call it whatever you want to. I think you get the point here. That's why when this law was passed, it was a smart law in Mississippi. It was a smart challenge. And the constitutional, even a law school put out this amazing perspective. And it said the constitutional viability of 5-month abortion laws. And they were talking about this, right? 5-month abortion law restricts abortions to 20 weeks of pregnancy when an unborn child can feel pain from abortion. Opponents of 5-month abortion laws argue that they violate the viability rule created by the Supreme Court. The viability rule provides that government may not prohibit any woman from making the ultimate decision, quote, to terminate her pregnancy before viability. Now, the argument is, right, in most cases, viability will occur after 20 weeks of pregnancy. However, the viability rule is unworkable. It's arbitrary. It's unjust. It's poorly reasoned. It's inadequate. And it's also extreme based on 2021 medicine. You could even argue the viability rule cannot be justified, especially as applied to the, quote, five-month laws, which is how people describe Roe v. Wade. This is the reason why you have the 15-week rule that was put into effect specifically in Mississippi, knowing it would be challenged, hoping it would go to the Supreme Court. Opponents argue that limiting abortions at 20 weeks to protect pain-capable unborn children violates what is sometimes called the viability rule. That's what the left says. And the U.S. Supreme Court was very clear. They created the viability rule in 1973. And the Roe v. Wade decision reaffirmed the viability rule in the 1992 Planned Parenthood case, by the way, in the Casey decision. Things have changed since then. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, H.R. 36, the goal when that bill came out was to limit abortions at 20 weeks. That's approximately 5 months. Except when it's necessary to save the life of the mother or when where pregnancy has resulted from rape or, in the case of minors, incest. That H.R. Bill 36 is based on, quote, substantial medical evidence that an unborn child is capable of experiencing pain at least by 20 weeks after fertilization, if not earlier. Similar limitations have been adopted in several other states and have been proposed in others, and now that gets you to where we are today. This is a brilliant move, and I give high fives to the leadership from years ago in Mississippi by doing this the way they did. They were trying to figure out what is the easiest and what is the best way to get the Supreme Court to revisit Roe v. Wade. Now, let me be clear about this. It may not be that Roe v. Wade gets struck down completely. I would love for that to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen. But what it could do is it very well could put Roe v. Wade back on the platform to say, okay, we must change viability, which will allow states to then ban abortions at 15 weeks or 20 weeks like they have just done or like they tried to do in Mississippi, which is now what's getting us to the Supreme Court. This will at least give more states rights to shut down the abortion on-demand industry in their states, and that's good for all children. Now, let me explain to you why Democrats are losing their minds over the Supreme Court's decision to hear this case from Mississippi. They know that modern medicine and science is not on their side on this one. They get it. They understand now that abortion in this country and the on-demand abortion product, which they're all in favor of, is now under serious attack, more than likely from the Supreme Court. Now, I like to be clear about this. I don't believe that the Supreme Court's just going to immediately come out and say, Roe v. Wade is done, right? What I do think they're going to do is they're going to look at the viability of a child. And there are a lot of states that could change abortion. Do I think that abortion is going to be banned? Probably not. Based on Roe v. Wade, the law. What I do think is you are going to have a big swing in the pendulum, and that's a good thing for all of us. We need a swing. You know, Planned Parenthood's freaking out because this could fundamentally destroy or kill, no pun intended, their business, which is killing babies. Think about how many people have abortions in this country outside of the first 15 weeks of pregnancy. A significant number. And Democrats are in favor of abortions on demand. They have been forever. They want you to be able to birth the child and kill the child with a technicality that, oh, it's still in the womb with partial birth abortion. They have no problem dismembering children. They have no problem putting extreme pain on children, crushing children's skulls, ripping their bodies apart, and by the way, selling those body parts for research, which they do and advocate for. You have to understand what we are up against. We're up against a sadistic group of individuals, and they all say, oh, it's a women's right to choose. They don't value life. If they did, they'd stop abortion. You know, I've been saying this for a long time. The number one murder of black babies in this country is Planned Parenthood. If Black Lives Matter really cared about black lives, they would immediately stop the abortion industry, which is the number one killer of African Americans in this country. Abortion destroys the African American family. It has. Look at the numbers. It's a fact. But what the left is doing right now is they are going, oh my gosh, we may actually lose the ability, and they're going to try to galvanize, and they're going to try to get the feminists together. And I think the Supreme Court is going to probably sit back, look at this, and they're going to decide that, yes, Roe v. Wade should be challenged based on science, based on medical science, which goes by the, I mean, that's, remember, the Democrats and the left are always the ones screaming science with Fauci and masks and all this other crap, right? Science, 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 science. That's what they say over and over and over again. It's all about the science, right? 100% about the science. So they say, okay, so let's use science. This is where science is going to destroy the left and their arguments. Remember, they're the party of silence, of science, I should say. They're always screaming about it. Now, this also gives states the rights to do what they want to do when it comes to abortion in their states. That's why Mississippi, I give them huge props, and I say it over and over again, because they were smart in the way that they did this. They didn't just flat out ban abortions. They said after 15 weeks. That is the part about this that matters. That's the best part about this. They said, okay, we're not going to just go against Roe v. Wade. We're going to look at the law and then challenge from within the law. And that's how we're going to win this thing. And that is exactly what they've done. And now they're going to the Supreme Court. Now, you better get ready for this, because Democrats are going to turn this into a campaign issue, because it's going to be heard in the next term of the Supreme Court. And what they're going to do is they're going to come out and they're going to go nuts. And they're going to say that a women's right to choose is under attack. They're going to say that the Republicans have gone crazy. They're going to say that this is, that the feminist movement is going to die, and that your rights are going to die. There are zero rights that are under attack in Mississippi. What Mississippi is doing is they are protecting the rights of the unborn, the innocent children. And they are looking at the science of the innocent children, and they are deciding that with the science of the innocent children, that their lives actually matter. That is what they are doing here. And it's absolutely brilliant. This is a victory that I've been waiting for virtually my entire life since I understood Roe v. Wade. So should you be excited about this? Yes, enjoy this moment. Do we have a Supreme Court that is conservative to hear this? Yeah. This is why elections matter. This is the reason why when I had conservative friends like, oh, I just can't vote for Donald Trump. These are the types of issues that are at stake. Look at how many people he put on the Supreme Court. The reason why this case has a chance right now is because of Donald Trump and who he put on the Supreme Court. And now that we have a conservative Supreme Court, this is massive. So if you were one of those that voted for Joe Biden, but you say you care about the life of the, protecting the life of the unborn, just remember, without Donald Trump being in the White House, we wouldn't be having this conversation that we are having right now. It wouldn't exist. And I'll leave it at that. I want to remind you, please share this podcast with your family and your friends. As we are still under attack from Facebook, our page is still being silenced by Facebook. So please share this with your family and your friends.